This story is called Corporate Proposal. They loved staying in bed together, but that wasn't where they did it. They did it on the floor, in his car, and in the shower. They did it in the closets, on the kitchen table, and on the stairs. Sometimes they did it several times a day. They were that hungry for each other. One day, she said she didn't want to do it for a while. A short time later, they broke up. They cried. He said he wanted to do it one more time. She turned her back on him and said, "That's impossible." He got angry, and then they screamed at each other as they took his things from her closets, the bathroom, and the kitchen. When they left, he threw his keys on the floor. He hadn't been back there or seen her since, until tonight. Allison was startled to see Tim at the door with her secretary. Tim thought that his ex-lover looked awfully good. She wore a slinky blue-green shift that clung to her hips and outlined her ribs. Tim had always liked the way she dressed. He remembered a black negligee that had places for her bare breasts to come through. He wondered if she still decorated her nipples when she wore it. The sight of him stopped Allison. She hadn't thought of him in almost a year. Allison tried to be very careful to keep her business and private relationships separate from each other. Her secretary, June, had never spoken to Tim, or even heard her boss make reference to him. June was simply told that they were going to her boss's party. He hadn't really asked any questions about it. She hadn't gone into detail. "How very strange to see you here again," said Allison. The look on his face told her he hadn't expected to see her either. He managed to mumble, "Hello." She wondered briefly if he really could have been dense enough to walk up to the house that he used to share with her and not realize where he was. She knew that Tim had a tendency for being obtuse, but this was unusual, even for him. "I always knew that June had good taste," Allison said with a smile and a voice that seemed incompatible with her thoughts. June looked back and forth between them. "You've both met, haven't you?" Tim smiled at the two women. "I didn't realize that you worked for Allison McNamara," he said. There was an inevitable pause where no one knew what to say. June's first thought was about whether this was going to somehow affect her job. Then she began to wonder about Tim and her boss sleeping together. Then she thought about whether they should leave. Clearly, she did not want to upset Allison McNamara. She'd be out on her ass on Monday. Allison turned squarely to June. "You know most everyone here. Make yourselves comfortable, and I'll be sure to see the both of you a little later on." Tim's gaze involuntarily followed her hips as she walked away. He should have realized that June would be watching him, but all his mind could picture was a small red dagger that was tattooed about 3 inches below her waist. June said, "Let's get something to drink," and took Tim's hand. He was still looking at Allison as they walked over to the bar. She was wearing the crescent moon earrings that he'd given her. The house was expansive. The living room was sunken down 3 steps and highlighted by a huge fieldstone fireplace. Sometimes, on hot days, Allison liked to do it in front of a fire. They would get slippery with sweat and then burst into a waiting shower for their climax. Allison was nervous as she watched them. This could turn out to be embarrassing. The business side of her disdained embarrassment. But what was embarrassing the internal hell out of her right now was how excited she was to see him again. Finally, Tim focused his attention on June. She was smiling. He thought she looked fresh and pretty. He wanted to explain, but people were coming over to them, and she was introducing him. He listened to their conversation and added an occasional word of agreement. Then they were moving away, and June led him into a curved alcove where he and Allison had done it standing up. She was smirking now. "Where do you know Allison McNamara from?" There was a spark in her eyes. She was beginning to find the feel of Tim and her boss amusing. "About 2 years ago, we used to date," said Tim. "And?" said June. He gave her an innocent smile. "What? Tell me about it." "We saw each other for almost a year and then broke up. I haven't seen her since." "You seem upset," she said. "No, I'm just surprised. I didn't even realize where we were." Allison watched them talking in the alcove. Tim had put on a few pounds, but the extra weight looked good on him. He was wearing clothes that she hadn't seen before. He stood straight without seeming stiff. She liked the way he held his junk. June was a pretty girl. Her ivory snow skin and chubby breasts must be very attractive to Tim. She wondered how long he had been seeing June. She hoped that he wouldn't tell her too much about them. It might be easier to simply transfer the secretary. But that could make matters worse. Allison knew that if you pissed off your secretary, she was sure to badmouth you. About 30 people had showed up for the party. Allison was being given permission to pay for the gathering out of her expense account. It was recognized in her office that affability was good management policy. She wished there were some way for her to hear what he was saying to June. This had never happened before, and it made her uncharacteristically uncomfortable. Allison moved off and tried to occupy herself with something a little less disturbing, but her eyes kept returning to the alcove and involuntarily examining Tim and how he looked with her secretary. She decided that the best way was to go and say something briefly to June tonight and then decide how she intended to deal with it on Monday. She wanted this worked out discreetly. When she saw that Tim had drifted over to the fireplace and was talking to Josh Lowe, she moved towards June. Talking to Josh was safe. He didn't let anybody get too many of their own words into a conversation and didn't seem to listen that carefully to what was being said. "Let's step over here for a second, shall we?" she said as she took June back into the window-seated alcove. They sat at right angles to each other. Allison adjusted her gold crescent earrings without remembering that she'd gotten them from Tim. She began, "Knowing Tim, I'm sure you weren't aware that we'd had a love affair." June interrupted, "I would have never brought him here if I had any idea that the two of you had been involved." "Be that as it may," Allison continued in her best professional voice, "it would seem to be in the mutual interest of everyone's comfort if nothing was said about the coincidence." "That's true, Miss McNamara," responded June. Her secretarial manner was meant to convey support and loyalty. "Why don't the two of you quietly decide to scurry off before too much longer?" That would be no problem, said June, as if she was being asked to work overtime. We'll talk more on Monday, Allison, smiling warmly. I'd say that I owe you one, but under the circumstances, I'm not sure that's the correct way to put it. June laughed nervously. I see what you mean, she said. She thought that it would be easy to get Tim out of the party. She wanted to go to bed with him that night anyway. She'd put on silk underwear and perfumed herself extensively in case things had worked out. June and Tim had sex in his bed. The unfamiliarity of each other's body quickly excited them. She laid on her back and with her hair feathered against the pillow. He pulled on her nipples with soft tugs. She wondered if he looked the same to Allison McNamara when she had been underneath him. There was a certain added satisfaction after she orgasmed. At 10 o'clock on Monday morning, Allison asked June into her office. She told the secretary to leave her pad at the desk. They had coffee. June had asked Tim about his relationship with Allison McNamara a second time. She wanted details. He told her that Allison was hot beyond cooling. He told her that Allison could be unusual in her appetites. June's mouth had dropped open, and Tim laughed harder than she'd ever seen him laugh before. June just couldn't imagine her boss as a hot commodity. She remembered once hearing Josh Lowe and two other junior executives talking about Allison. One said that Allison's problems with them stemmed from the absence of a stiff one in her life. The others agreed. But Allison McNamara had always been decent with her. She didn't take advantage of her and use her to cover mistakes. She overlooked some of the petty details that her male bosses accented. The weekend left her unsure of what this would mean for her. Allison gave her a warm smile that June knew to be professional. It was nonetheless comforting. June returned the smile, and Allison began talking. I hope that your Saturday night wasn't too inconvenienced. It's just that I was rather surprised to see an ex-lover there with a co-worker. June noticed her temporary elevation to equal status. She sipped her coffee quietly and waited to see what Allison would say next. I hope that I can rely on you to be discreet in this matter. I don't believe that who you are seeing is any of my business. Nor do I think that my private affairs should become a subject for water cooler discussion. It may seem that I'm making too much of this thing, but there are people in this office who would have a field day with the information. It just wouldn't seem normal. June felt instantly relegated back to the ranks of a subordinate. She put down her coffee cup and said, I don't see that we have a problem. I'm not particularly interested in passing the details of my love affairs around either. Allison agreed. I know, she said. In a way, this whole thing is kind of funny and silly at the same time that it's serious. I should tell you, said June, that I enjoy Tim's company. I hope you don't see it as a problem that I'm going to continue seeing him. He's an intriguing man, said Allison, if a bit of a bumbler. June didn't feel comfortable discussing Tim with Allison, but if that's what her boss really wanted to talk about, she felt saved when the telephone rang. June answered it. It was Harry Wiseman's secretary, Mary. She was told at the conference call that was to be held with the Cleveland and St. Louis branches was ready, and that she was signing Alice's lawn into the hookup. June said, "Wait a second, I'm not at my desk." She informed Allison of the call and went out to her phone to complete the hookup. They didn't speak about it anymore that day. Allison had just taken a long bath and was sipping a glass of Frangelica when the phone rang on Monday night. It was Tim. He told her that he'd been thinking about Saturday night and hoped that he hadn't caused any problems for her. "No, there weren't any problems, but I was surprised to see you." She went on to say that she thought it strange that he hadn't been aware that he was at her house. "I've got a bit of a confession to make," said Tim. "I did realize it was your house when we got there. I suppose I was curious about you. Anyway, I let it happen. I thought you looked quite elegant." She laughed. "Why, thank you. You looked good, too." "There have been times when I've regretted the way that we ended things," he said. "Endings often seem more final than they are," she said. "How would you feel about having dinner with me?" "Under the circumstances," she said in a measured voice, "I don't think it would be appropriate or possible." They had dinner on Wednesday night. She knew that he wanted to sleep with her. They certainly weren't going to discuss his adventure with her secretary. She wore a proper blue dress with crotchless panties underneath. He was waiting at the bar when she arrived. The private room atmosphere that the place offered was perfect for them. He was dressed in a pair of finely tailored slacks and a sports shirt. His stomach was fluttering when she sat down next to him. She was acutely aware of every motion that he made. He was direct. "I know that you weren't sure that this is a good idea," he said. "No," she answered. "I know this isn't a good idea. I saw you, and I just don't want to let the opportunity slip by." He looked into her face. "Allison, you're the most exciting woman that I've ever met." She was flattered and a bit apprehensive. As the evening progressed, she kept waiting for him to talk about his relationship to June, but he didn't. He followed her home, and they made love on her back porch. They were good together, as always. When he came into her house, she said, "What are you intending to do about my secretary?" "June and I don't really have anything going on," he said. "Does she know that?" said Allison. Tim shrugged. "Then just end it with her." Tim agreed without hesitation. They had a drink. "I've been studying erotic dances," she said with a naughty smile. "Would you like a demonstration?" 2 days later, Tim brought some of his things over to her house. Their intercourse was more intense than it was the last time. They reveled in each other. Her supply of imagination and new ideas were as inexhaustible as his stamina. Tim didn't call June during his week at Allison's. His reasons were vague. Allison kept telling him that she wanted him to be fair with June. Also, she told him not to mention her name. On the third day of the second week, June called a secretary that she knew from Tim's office. It had been through her that she had met Tim. He had picked them up at a downtown happy hour. They had partied, and then he had treated the two of them to dinner. He asked each of them to dance. When he danced with June, He told her that he wanted to see her again. She had answered that she didn't know. He smiled and said, "Well, I've waited all night to be able to ask you that question." June was swept away. She thought that it was true, but she was trying to not let on that she believed it. She called her friend in Tim's office and told her about Tim suddenly being among the missing. She asked her friend to find out what she could. She couldn't believe that he hadn't enjoyed sleeping with her. She knew when she satisfied a man. The return call came right after lunch. There was only one piece of information. He had temporarily changed his private number. She stared at the number after she wrote it down. Her face was hard. That Friday, June sent a request to Harry Mylman's office that she would be transferred. She told his head of staff that she would be more comfortable working for a man. When Allison questioned her about the abruptness of the change, she said, "There's a lot of pressure working for someone on the way up like yourself. I want to work for someone in less intense surroundings." Allison didn't believe a word of it. She tried to be sisterly and asked what the problem was. June was proud of herself by not giving the bitch the slightest inclination that she knew anything. Allison asked, "Do you know where you're going to be reassigned?" "I was told that Josh Lowe was going to be needing a secretary in 2 weeks. That will be about how long it will take me to turn things over here." June smiled and held out her hand. "It's been quite an experience to work for you." There was little question in Allison's mind that she knew about them. Too much of this was coming from out of nowhere. Secretaries didn't like change, and Josh Lowe was no prize. There was a part of her that was happy that June was gone, but she was uncomfortable as to the reasons. The worst part was this: she was falling in love with Tim again. It was even stronger than the last time. He enjoyed her diversity. He didn't feel smothered. He was quiet, and he was her equal. A briefly flickering voice told her to end the relationship because it had crossed into her professional life. Harry Wyman, in his late 50s, was a conservative man, but also someone who understood the need for evolutionary change. When the mores of the marketplace dictated that he have a visible female executive or be grouped with those companies considered discriminatory, he recruited Allison. She was very bright and ambitious and bore a striking resemblance to his daughter. Harry was proud of the ways things had worked out. Allison McNamara, Josh Lowe, and Tom Fitzsimmons sat in front of his desk as he began his prepared remarks. "The board of directors and I have decided that we are ready and most needful of a new vice president in charge of special projects. Our sponsorship of athletic and artistic events has begun to give us a reputation and prestige that will keep this corporation growing at a rate that will ensure additional prosperity for everyone in our corporate family. The board has nominated you three as being the most deserving of our junior executives. Only one of you can have the position. Going in, I want you to understand that the two people who aren't chosen will be transferred to branch offices. This will cut down on friction and make room for a new trio of people who, like yourselves, have earned a chance to move up. At this point, you can remove your name from consideration and stay on in your present capacity. However, Once we've agreed upon entering the selection process, the wishes of a board about anyone disqualifying himself or herself from the competition are clear. Harry stopped and gave them an inspecting gaze. Are there any questions at this point? Tom Fitzsimmons was a married man, 38 years old, with a 10-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. He presented an outstanding appearance, worked long hours, and was consistent, but lacked corporate inventiveness. Josh Lowe was here because he deserved at least one nomination in his career. He wasn't outstanding, but he had a friendliness and a congeniality which had staying power. He had cultivated his share of allies and friends. Fitzsimmons was the first to speak. What kind of a branch office will be offered to those who aren't promoted? Wyman indicated that he understood the nature of Tom's concerns. At least a district manager's duties and quite possibly control of a branch itself. Allison felt confident when she sized up her competition. She smiled to herself. She had been wondering the same thing that Fitzsimmons asked about, but she would never have let her first comment be a timid, "what if I lose" kind of statement. The position would be considered a lateral move, but they weren't at corporate headquarters. Josh Lowe was next to speak. "Mr. Wyman, I'd be happy to serve this corporation in any of the three capacities that you've mentioned, and I'd like to be the first to thank you and the board for so honoring me. I can give you my answer right now. I'm in for the process all the way." He emphasized the smoothness of the "all the way" intentions with a palm-down gesture that made a smooth cut through the air and capped off with a thumbs-up signal. Allison spoke easily and directly into Harry Wyman's smiling face. "I think that it almost goes without saying that we all feel honored. I'd simply like a little more of the detail about the selection process." She didn't feel fearful or anxious. She was interested, but it was important to appear circumspect with regard to having the right information to make the proper decision. She felt certain that Wyman was the person who was actually making the decision, and that he would appreciate her stance. "The board of directors would like each of you to select and develop a presentation for this corporation's involvement with a heretofore untapped area of special projects, a long-range area that we could make a wise investment of resources and pioneer something that would be uniquely identifiable as a project of the Worth Corporation." Allison felt even better. The project was tailor-made for her talents. "I've made arrangements to have each of your areas of major responsibility transferred to other people. That is, once you agree to become part of the process, there won't be much time for you to complete proposals. The board and I are both anxious to settle this move as quickly as possible. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the board is in 6 days. The meeting has been expanded to include a working lunch at which these proposals will be presented. A decision will be made and communicated to you at a time no later than conclusion of that week's business." He smiled broadly and looked at the three prospective vice presidents. "Let me assure you that, in my opinion, the board won't really be able to make a mistake. I have no doubts about the qualifications and abilities of any of the three of you. For the rest of the day, I'd like you to simply consider your options. I'll expect to hear from you tomorrow morning. That night, she told Tim that a project was going to occupy all of her energy and had come up at the office. She told him that she wasn't going to have any time for anything else for a while. "Are you telling me that you're done with me again?" said Tim. He was trying to sound steady, although he felt punched in the stomach. "That's not it," she said emphatically. "Then what is it?" he said. His face looked fierce, similar to when he was about to have an orgasm. She told herself that he had a right to feel rejected, but there wasn't anything that she was going to do about it right now. When she didn't have anything to say, he said, "I'll take my things out of here tonight." She wanted to tell him that wasn't what she meant. It was what she needed, though. So she sat there, looking confused. He got up and started for the bedroom. He was surprised when she followed him. "I must have been crazy to want to get involved with you again," he said without looking at her. "Nothing bad has to happen here, Tim," she said. If he'd been listening to her voice, he could have heard a struggle. "Why the hell won't you tell me what it is you're talking about? It sounds an awful lot to me like something I've heard before."